Why do churches split? Number one, people, we all have issues, right? From the head down, no one's exactly the same. Second of all, we all have different personalities. We have different makeup. We think different. We act different. We don't talk the same. All of us are different. Next one, we have different thought on how ministry should happen. Somebody wants a ministry here. Somebody wants a ministry there. We're not giving the ministry that we should be here, so we're not reaching what we feel like we should be doing, or people feel like we should be doing more. Some people feel like we should be doing less, so we split. Egos. A lot of times our egos get in the way. But biblically, the next one says pride. It said pride comes before the what? The fall. We have a lot of pride. Next one. My idea versus your idea, or your idea versus my idea. Then we have times churches split over men against the women, or women against the men, the old against the young, and the young against the old. It's a generational thing. There should be no division between ages when it comes to church. Amen? I love our church. Do you know what I like about our church? It doesn't matter what age you are, you fit in here. And that's what's awesome. We try to bridge that gap so much throughout the week here. Dan and I talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and we try to figure out, how do we bridge that gap? How do we bridge the gap? If we see a gap, how do we bridge that? And then sadly, we have doctrinal issues. You're going to see a lot of big churches splitting today over doctrinal issues because they want to bring things that are not biblical. Amen? So we're seeing that happen in America today. One of the funniest ones, and you're going to say, Matt, this sounds ancient. No, this is pretty near home to me. I came out of a King James only doctrine. And let me tell you what, when they wanted to say they wanted to bring the ESV, we had people walk out one Sunday, like a whole row. Can I tell you that should never happen, ever. God's word is infallible. Don't get hung up on the translation of it. Amen. If it's taken a thee to a the to make it to you can read it, amen. I have no problem over that. Another big one we have had church splits over the years, and I haven't been here forever, but I can tell you from my own, music in the church. I love music. You see that, but I like all music. From a hymnal to a chorus, to praise and worship, it doesn't matter. I love it. Get ready. You're going to see more of it. Amen. That also says we're also going to have a choir someday here pretty soon. Tom Kraft, you're welcome for that one. It's looking out for you. We shouldn't split over things, right? I've heard people say we have isms and we have schisms and we don't know what we're doing. Listen, there should be no ism. There should be no schism. We should be not divided. We should be unifying today. This morning, more than ever, our community needs who? You. Us. Together. We have to unify for our community. We're having LifeWise come in here. We need to unify for these kids coming in. More than ever, we have to unify for them. Next slides, please. What is a divided church? And I think of it like this. A divided church is equal to a marriage going through a divorce. If you've ever been through one, hopefully you've never have. But a church split is like a divorce. What does that mean? A divided church is fighting, they're imploding, they're fault-finding. Just like a married couple is going through a separation. Brings me to my next point. When I was 17 years old, we went to go sing in a church in Michigan. My family was singing there. My dad was pastoring that morning. The congregation should have been able to fit 700 people in the church house. Huge cathedral. Here's what's sad. That morning we came in there, there was only about 75 people. Kind of wondered, this is weird. Why is there only 75 people in this big, giant, huge cathedral in downtown Detroit, Michigan? This doesn't seem right. Pastor came to my dad after church that morning. He said, I know you're wondering why we don't have a lot of people here. He said, yeah. He said, this doesn't make sense. He's like, you're in the epicenter of everything. He said, we divided over a piano. He said, someone brought in a brand new grand piano years ago. And I actually played it that morning. It was beautiful. Brought it in. The left side wanted it on their side. The right side wanted it on their side. So they split over the piano. I'm telling you, these are real things. This is how we split hairs in church and divide. This should never happen. So as years went on, they came to church. So they put it on the left side. They wouldn't speak to them. So they put it on the right side. They wouldn't speak to them. Here's what happened. Ended up, the right side wouldn't talk to the left side. The left side wouldn't talk to the right side. They ended up having to build an additional wing to host additional separate Sunday school classes on either side of the church for either side of the church. That's funny, isn't it? That's sad. That's sad. 10 years, they continued like this till one morning, almost 80% of their congregation walked out and said, we can't do this no more. That's not coming together. That's not love. That's not uniting. Sometimes you just got to lay it down and leave it. My mom would sing this song in church, I just lay it down and leave it. I carry this burden no more. Let me tell you what that means. Sometimes you might come to church and you may not get along with your brother or sister in Christ. Just let it go. Love them. There will be meetings you'll go through. There will be things that will be said. Love them. Can I tell you, we have one of the best churches in Mansfield, but we got to love each other. If we're ever going to reach the community, if we're ever going to reach the masses, what do we have to do? Love each other. Love each other. Let's go to the next slide, please. Thank you. What is the church? Ephesians 5:27 says this, that he might present himself a glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. You can go to the next slide. I want to show you this. The church is the bride. We are the bride. We are the bride of Christ. Amen? If we are the bride of Christ, think about a wedding day. Everybody dresses up and acts beautiful for the ceremony. But then you get down to the brass tacks at the event. And what's after the event? I totally forgot. The reception. Sometimes people go crazy. Listen, we're not supposed to be the bridezilla of Christ. Amen? We are the bride of Christ. I have seen bridezillas. I think it's kind of funny. And that is not how we are to act. We are to get along. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. The left side should love the right side. The right side should love the left side. If it's something small or tiny or just a little thing, you know what I'm anymore? Cool. That works. It's not worth dividing over, is it? It's not worth losing your friendship over. And it's not worth winning someone to Christ. You know, people see us out in the community, and they hear us talk about our church. They hear us, hey, they see you. I tell people where I go, Mission Point, and I love it. Why do I go there? Because we got some of the best people in Mansfield. Amen. Amen. I'm not ashamed of it. We shouldn't be ashamed of it. But once we get into one of those little ism schism things, you know what happens? Oh, Mission Point. Oh, why did I go there? That's not how we're supposed to act. We're supposed to act as the bride. We can continue on to the next slide this morning. Who is the bridegroom? John 3:29 says this, the one who has the bride is the bridegroom, the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. We can go to the next slide. I want to share this picture with you. It's a bride standing at the cross. This is how we are supposed to be as the church. This is how we're supposed to interact. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. And when we come together collectively, this is like a wedding ceremony down here. Y'all know that? Why is that for? Because we're getting ready to meet him someday. But until he comes, we must continue working for the Lord. We must continue. How are we ever going to get the word out if we never unite? Now, I want to tell you this morning, I don't think we're not united. I believe we are united. Do I believe we can unite more? Sure do. I believe every church can unite more. I believe every congregation out there in America can unite more and do more for the work of God. Why? We got a lot of work to do. Can I tell you something that is very interesting to me and that's very dear to my heart? We're not in competition with any other church in Mansfield. There's no competition. If they're serving God, loving God, and your family's going there, don't pull them to come here. There's more out there. We need to be hitting our Samaria. We need to be hitting our streets. We need to be bringing people in. Don't pull someone out of church, say, hey, they're rooted in the Christ, come here. No, that's not the way to do that. We need to love people into church, amen? Love them into church. We can go on to the next slide here. It says here, if we are the bride, why do we struggle loving each other? Shouldn't a bride be happy? Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says this, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. We can go on to this next slide. A spirit of the unity and the bond of peace. We need that more than ever. We need unity. When we are in unity and we are working together and we are doing God's will, things will click like that. Things will go in place. When we are not doing what God's will is wanting us to do, things don't go right. I say this to the praise team almost every Sunday. They'll vouch for me. I didn't say it this Sunday, but most Sundays. Did you pray before you walked through the door? First time I said that to everybody, everybody looked, kind of looked at me. Because let me tell you what, Satan's fighting you as you're walking in the door. I'm going to say this to the congregation this morning. Church family, have you prayed before you've walked through the door? Because we're fighting something in the supernatural realm. Pastor Dan has a whole series of messages out there from Wednesday nights on spiritual warfare. I would expect everybody listens to them if you have not been to Wednesday night. We are in that spiritual warfare. Every time you come to church, every time the door opens, every time something happens, every time we launch a new ministry, something is trying to happen in the supernatural realm. What do we have to do? We have to unite. Simply, we have to unite. So what does this mean? God calls us as believers to long suffer. I know that's such an awful word to say to people. Long suffer. Lord, why do I have to long suffer? I'm already in a marriage. Some of you say that. Why do I gotta long suffer with my church family now? Yeah, you're stuck with us for life, amen? You have these people for years. Then God calls us as believers to love one another. I know that's such a hard subject to talk about, but I really want to be honest with you this morning. He calls us to love one another. And let me tell you, if you're faking it, we know it. It just feels kind of like, ugh. You never had that like clammy handshake, like, ugh, get out of here. You really don't like me. I mean, I've had them. I understand what that's like. Let's don't do that to each other. Let's really love one another. And then God calls us as a church to unify. When I joined this church, I unified with the doctrines and the principles of this church. Amen? Amen? I read that constitution about a month. And for about 2 months, Dan was like, okay, come sit on the front row. And I'm like, okay, is he ever going to call me? And then I'm like, oh, I need to reread through page 3 here. Or I don't know what's on page 3. But that's what I would do because I wanted to align. spiritually. I wanted to pray just before I came a member, do I agree with everything we have here? Because I'm investing my life in this. I'm investing bringing my kids here. I united, when I became a member, I united with this congregation. We have to unite. When you come up here and stand and you become a member, you're really saying, I unify. I unite with this church. I agree with your doctrine. Man, I'm telling you something. If you don't agree with it all, don't stand up here and lie. Sometimes we stand up here and we lie and we say, oh, I'm coming to church member. And then 5-6 months later, man, I believe this. And we're all like, whoa, didn't you read that? We thought you unified. Listen, I love this place. And what this church has done for me and my family and brought us through, I had no problem to say, I'm happy to become a member. I see what this church does for our community. I had no problem saying I align with this church. Let's go on to the next one. A little bit of reading here. Ephesians 2:17 through 22, it says this. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to one Spirit, to the Father. So when you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are now fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also being built together into a dwelling place of God by the Spirit. Let's look at the next slide. What does Ephesians 2:17 through 22 mean? We're the church. Simply, that's what it means. We are the body. We have a wonderful legacy. Can I tell you, every church sometimes doesn't have a good point or a good legacy. There's points in everything, but can I tell you, there are more good things in our church than outweigh some of the bad history we've ever had. There are more souls that are being saved than little things or divisions you've had in the past. There are still future souls to be saved. Amen? We have to look towards the future. We can go to the next one here. We are called to love one another. We are called to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. But can I say this? The struggle's real. Dan gave an example one time after we started coming to church here, and I thought it was pretty interesting. He said in Pennsylvania, there was two people who worked together up there. And when they were working in church, they worked together amazing. But outside of the congregation, it was kind of like, eh. They didn't really gel real well together. Can I tell you, I appreciate that. Not every time that you come together to work with something on a project or a mission, are you going to just like love that person inside out. You love their soul, but you don't fully get along with them all the way. No one should ever know about it. Amen. That's something you keep in with you, and you pray about it, and you say, Lord, search me before you search them. Okay, now Lord, search them as well. But search me first, Lord, because a lot of times you'll find out there might be something within you. I've had to ask God that a lot. Lord, search me. Because, Lord, I'm not getting along with this situation that I'm working on in church. What's wrong? And can I tell you, sometimes it's been me. It's been me. And I have to admit to that. There has been moments it has been me. Let's look at the next slide. We let our minds get in our way. Why we never unify and come together. We let our minds have control. So what are we supposed to do if we are supposed to unify and come together as a body of believers? Ephesians 6:10 through 17 basically says this. Put on the full armor of God every day. Every day, every day, every day, you're supposed to be putting on the full armor of God. We have a helmet of salvation. We have a breastplate of righteousness, a belt of truth, a shield of faith, a sword of the Spirit, and feet of peace. we are supposed to be putting on this spiritual warfare, spiritual armor every day. So when we come into warfare, we know how to fight. How do we fight? The best way I know how to fight is on my knees in prayer. I've won a lot of battles on my knees. I've never won a lot of battles fighting and arguing verbally. It gets you nowhere. I've been in meetings over the years, and business meetings and church meetings and things like that, and people think, well, if I get louder, it's going to get my point across. No, let me tell you what would get your point across. You say, I need to take a moment, step outside, and let me pray. I'll be back in 5 minutes. Try that. You might just shock everybody. Sometimes a soft answer turns away wrath. Amen? And especially if you've came prayed up, equipped, and you're ready for the battle, that changes everything. Let's look at the next slide here. I think this is very important. We see a lot of church plants these days, but I need you to ask yourself, if you say, hey, I'm going to go to this church and I'm going to go do this, you need to really find out, is it a church plant? Or is it a church split? There is a vast difference. And let me explain that. A church plant is taken from the congregation and to outreach into the community or maybe another area. A church split says, hey, I'm taking half the congregation, we're getting another building down the road from here. That's wrong. You divided. That's the same way you say, hey, 20 of us are leaving church today, and we're going down the road because we're mad at pastor's message. We're going down the road. Can I tell you what that is? That's wrong. You were supposed to sit, figure it out, pray about it, or work out your issue. I'm going to pull my membership, and I'm going to walk down the road. We're going to go join another church. You know that's biblically wrong. That's wrong. That's pulling them up. That's taking them out. That's moving them up. That's shuffling them around. God doesn't call us to do that. He calls us to plant ourselves. And when we come into a situation that is tough or is hard, he calls us to pray. Can I tell you, when a church truly, truly prays, God works things out. You might have an issue or you might have a problem, but if you really get honest and sincere with God, he'll change the outcome of the circumstance. Have you prayed before you came in to the meeting? Have you prayed before you came in to your circumstance? When you have to confront somebody, are you going to yell at them? Or are you going to say, let's take a moment, and can we pray together? Could you imagine if you took your enemy? Sometimes I don't like to think that there was any enemies in here against each other, but I don't know. But if you did, wouldn't it be nice if you took him by the hand and said, hey, I am sorry that I hadn't talked to you for 20 years. I've avoided you like the plague. Let me take you by the hand and let's get down to the altar and let's settle this. Amen? Amen? Could you imagine what the outcome would be? It'd be amazing. But what do we do? In slide number 2, it said the pride comes before the what? The fall. We have a lot of pride. Let me tell you what, none of us in here are getting any younger. We're getting older. I'm feeling it. We won't go there, but I'm feeling it. And let me tell you, we really need to watch what we're doing. When it comes down to an end, I don't want to have a division between me or a brother or sister in Christ. I don't even want it to happen between me and my family. I've been trying to rectify things that happened between me and my own personal family. It's hard to say I'm sorry, isn't it? Sometimes you could have been the person that was wrong. Sometimes you also have to say, I'm sorry. It's okay to do that. It's healing. It's healing to say that. Let's look at the next slide here. Are we dividing or are we unifying? This is what this is all about. Every day, we need to say, Lord, this is how my prayer goes in the morning. Lord, I come to you for my wife, Laura, all three of my boys, and for my church family. And then I make my way down the list. We start with Dan, and we go all the way down. And if I know your name, we pray for you. And if I don't know your name, I say, okay, well, that person this week who was wearing this, Lord, I pray for them. I try to pray for each of you. Why? Because I think it's important that we unify. Have you been to somebody lately you haven't talked to lately at church and has said, hey, it's not so nice to see you. It's nice to see you. You know, people come in from all different walks of life here. We should be one of the most loving, kind, and generous churches out there. Amen? Amen. We should love them beyond compare. Let's look at the next slide. Are we loving one another? This is a hard one. Are we gossiping about one another? There's a vast difference. I've caught myself in it before. You say, ooh, you caught yourself? Why are you in the pulpit before? Let me tell you what. Everybody has messed up in life. And I have to catch myself. Ooh, that could go into gossip. Lord, stop me. Why is that for? What is gossip? Gossip's anything that's going to diminish someone's character, even though it could be true. Don't diminish their character. Don't diminish who they are as a person. We have to really think about that. We have to love one another. We can go on to the next one. We are called to unite. We will never fully reach our community if we are what? Divided. If me and Dan divide, and if I don't back him up properly, we will be divided. Then the church will feel that. If the board divides, me and Dan will feel that. Then the church will divide. That's not good, is it? That's why we need to pray for all of our leaders. You should call out every single deacon's name in prayer, every single trustee's name in prayer, every person's in leadership, every person who attends your Sunday school class, every person who comes into your Awana class, every child in here should be prayed over daily. Amen. Daily. It's not a weekly thing. It's not a monthly thing. It's not a bi-yearly thing. It's a daily thing. Daily, you should be calling these names in prayer. Why is that for? Because we want to put a hedge of protection around all of you. Amen. I want to pray a hedge of protection around you. And I pray you're praying a hedge of protection around me. That's a fortress that can't be moved. It's prayer. Let's look at the next slide. I think this is pretty amazing. Acts 2, 1 through 31, I'm not going to read all of that, obviously, but on the day of Pentecost, the very first church was established. They met in the upper room, 120 of them. I think it would be very neat to actually see this actually happen. And the cloven tongues came down and set up on each of the 120. That day was one of the greatest days in our church history. Why is that? Because we became one of the greatest outreaches ever. We unified. We unified. Why is that for? Jesus' followers gathered together in that one room called the upper room. They came with one purpose. What's that purpose? To reach the world. Whosoever comes unto him shall be saved. When the Holy Spirit fell upon that 121, it changed everyone's life in the upper room. On that day of Pentecost, they became unified as one. This morning, I want to really explain this to you and try to bring this in as much as I can. We need to become one today. We really got to become one. We really have to reach our community. It is a job. It is a purpose. Can I tell you, life-wise, coming in here, it's just not a small ministry. You're going to need workers. It's going to grow. We're going to see it grow. Amen? Amen. Our youth group here is going to grow. Awana's going to grow. Our young people's ministries are going to grow. Why? We're going to pray about it. We're going to put legs on it. And we have to unify about it. And you know what the biggest thing you got to come to do in church? Put a smile on your face. Just smile some days. You don't feel like it, it will make you happy. I promise you, let's look at the next one here. Mission point, we must unite. And these are our principles that we have all over the church. Loving God, loving others, making disciples. Can you say them with me this morning? Loving God, loving others, making disciples. That's a principle that we really hold dear here. Man, that's uniting. For ever to unite, we have to love God, love others, and we have to make disciples. You know, when the day I got saved, it changed my life. Amen? And can I tell you, by nature, I'm not the most lovable person in the whole wide world. Like, I'll be very honest with you, I struggle loving everybody. It's just does not come by nature that I want to be like, oh, come over, let's have a chat. Like, I'm usually not like that. But can I be honest with you? Through the love of God, He's made me love others. Through the love of God, I've been able to share my life experiences. Through the love of God, I'm trying to help make disciples. That's what God can do. Let's look at the next one here. I talked a little bit about this on Wednesday, and I think this really impressed me when I read this. We must unite to reach our community. We have to remember we are still the church of the globe. When I saw that sign across the front of Cook Road Baptist here, many years ago, through a picture, it says, the church of the globe. I don't know why I say that when those words come out of my mouth, but the church of the globe. I think that is very instrumental. Remember, we still are. We're still reaching almost 70 missionaries, supporting them. We're reaching our community, outreaching them. We have outreaches through here, but also we have to be reaching everybody in here. Our job throughout the week is to take care of everybody in here. Can I tell you? Sometimes you're going to go through situations, struggles. We're here to pray with you. That's what we're here to do. Sometimes you're going to go through circumstances that you're not going to understand. We're here to pray with you. Pastor Dan has a big heart, and he will sit down and pray with you. I will probably go buy you a soda and ask you if I can go get you some gummies. And then we'll sit down and pray. No, I'm joking. I will pray with you first. First time I ever sat down with Dan, I bought him a bag of Jones potato chips and brought it in. He was like, yeah, that's my kind of guy. I'm like, we're good. Let's look at the next one here. Our legacy must live on. Why is that for? How do we unite to reach our community? We should be thinking outside the box. I'm a very outside-the-box thinker. I think outside the box. Nothing from my mind is probably extremely unique. I know I'm probably, you're like, where did Matt came from? I know. I was born different with a different family. And we are loud. We are like, whoa, in your face. And I have to bridle it a lot. But can I tell you, we have to unite to reach our community. Why is that for? I want to see every chair filled here every Sunday. Every seat in our kids' area should be filled. Every area over in, wouldn't it be nice if we had to like simulcast into another area of the church because we were so filled up in here, we had to do it in another area? You know, other churches around here are doing that. We could too. We just have to put legs on our prayers. We have to unite. We have to plan. The first church, they planned to go reach the world, didn't they? We have to do the exact same thing. Once they came out of the upper room, they planned, how am I going to preach? How am I going to teach? How are we going to do this? You know what, today what we have to do, Lord, send us workers. Lord, we need a youth group worker, Lord. Send us that. Lord, we need people for Awana. Send us that, dear God. Lord, we need people for other ministries. Send us that. Lord, LifeWise is going to need some extra help. Lord, send us that. Lord, we're going to need this. Can I tell you, it's all right here. It's all right here. You're saying, well, Lord, me? Me? Yeah, you. Do you know God called people? Every single person in here has a different thing that God called you to do. God may have called you to hospitality. God may call you to be a giver. God may be called you to be a teacher. But if we all came together, we're doing what God called us to do. We unite. If we take one thing away, it messes up what God called us to do. Every person has a special talent. Every person has a special gift. And when we combine those together, we become the church. It's simply what it is. We have to unite together. Let's look at the next slide. I said this once before. Yesterday, we were called the Church of the Globe, but mission point, this has never changed. We're still reaching people. We need to be reaching people more than ever. Let's go to the very last slide here. Justin, you can come up as we get ready to close. Why must we unite? Or we have to unify for? It's very simple. Lost family. Y'all got some? I do too. You don't have to raise your hand. No, we all have lost family members. We must unite in prayer for them. I have some family, I'd love to see them saved. But I got some lost friends I'd really like to save too. I want them to go to heaven with me too, right? Amen. I want them to go to heaven with me. And then we got a lost community. Have you seen some crazy stuff out there lately? We got to unite for them. We have to be present for them. They need to know who we are. Can I tell you one of the greatest blessings that's happened here? And a lot of people haven't seen it, but 12 or 13 of you have who do the senior walking. We've been walking outside. And can I tell you, the foot traffic through our parking lot is unbelievable. Am I right? Yes. People walk through here, walk through there, and you know what they're seeing now? Smiling faces. You know what they do now? Hi, how are you? Why? Because our people are reaching out to them. You know, someday they could come in church and get saved. But what's it going to do? Sometimes we have to go out there and say, hey, how are you today? When they've had the worst day of their life. They may have just had a hangover. They had just went through something terrible. They might have just done something illicit. Can I tell you? We have to reach out to them. And greater than anything, we have to reach out to a lost and dying world. How are we going to do this? By uniting together.